From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Monday, March 23rd. I'm Abby Larico. Missouri lawmakers are returning to Jefferson City after a week away. Though they've already passed some priorities, the legislature, led by a Republican supermajority, still has a list of things to accomplish. That includes a resolution that allows lawmakers to expand sales and use taxes in order to eliminate the state income tax.
Lawmakers can reduce taxes whenever they want, but they need voter approval in order to raise or change taxes. And so that's why this particularly needs voter approval.
STLPR's Sarah Kellogg breaks down what to expect for the rest of the session, coming up after this news on The Gateway. The St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department detained at least about two dozen children as part of their efforts to enforce temporary curfews over the weekend. The department reports 23 kids aged 11 to 17 were held on Friday night for violating a 10 p.m. curfew in downtown and downtown West. Prior to the curfew, two teenagers were cited for interfering with police and failing to comply with officers. The police reported there were no curfew violations Saturday night, and as of 5 a.m. Monday, we're still waiting on numbers from police for Sunday night's enforcement. Police indicated parents would be held responsible for unattended children who violated curfew, but did not respond to inquiries about any charges coming from this weekend's actions. The curfew was set in response to hundreds of teens engaged in violence and disruptive behavior in parts of downtown and North St. Louis a week ago. This weekend saw thousands of people come to downtown St. Louis for events including the NCAA tournament, a City SC match, and a volleyball tournament at the Dome at America Center. A former superintendent is accusing St. Louis Public Schools of wrongful termination and improprieties. Millicent Borishade filed suit against the district Friday. She alleges that she was fired without cause, was the subject of a smear campaign, and that she was retaliated against for raising concerns. In the suit, Borishade alleges that she blew the whistle on issues including graduation rate manipulation, discrimination, procurement violations, and open records law violations. Borishade led St. Louis Public Schools from July of 2024 to October of 2025. In a statement, SLPS Board President Karen Collins Adams says, quote, "The courts are responsible for determining the merits and outcomes of claims." St. Louis is taking a major step toward rebuilding 10 months after a tornado swept through parts of the city, damaging thousands of buildings. The city tore down two destroyed homes in North St. Louis Friday. As St. Louis Public Radio's Andrea Henderson reports, some neighbors say it's sad to see homes being demolished, but it still gives them hope.
June Lipscomb came outside of her home on the 5200 block of Enright Avenue to view the early morning demolition. She's lived next door to the now demolished home in the Academy Sherman Park neighborhood for over a decade. Lipscomb says she's happy to see the heavily damaged home come down.
And every time, you know, I pull up, I gotta look at this, I'm like, man, and every time somebody come out, I'm like, I'm hoping this house is on the list to get torn down. I'm hoping it gets torn down, and, you know, it finally came.
The two demolished homes are a test case before the city starts ramping up demolitions in the tornado zone. Officials say more than 1,000 houses may need to come down. I'm Andrea Henderson, St. Louis Public Radio.
As the St. Louis Board of Aldermen's legislative session nears an end, board members say they're looking to continue tornado relief work next session. St. Louis Public Radio's Chad Davis has details.
The board prioritized recovery efforts for victims and homes damaged in the May tornado that hit North City neighborhoods and parts of the Central West End. Board members passed several bills amounting to about $43 million in aid. Alderwoman Shamim Clark Hubbard says the city will be focused on tornado recovery for years to come.
We have years of work ahead of us. A lot of the demolition is getting ready to ramp up, and there's a lot of questions around that, not just the health aspect of it, but the geographic aspect.
The board's spring break ends April 20th. I'm Chad Davis, St. Louis Public Radio.
The decision on whether to tax online out-of-state purchases made from St. Louis County will officially be put to voters. County Executive Sam Page signed a bill Friday to add a use tax to the ballot. If voters approve the tax, it would be set at the same rate as the county's local sales tax. The county says it could generate $50 to $75 million a year to support essential services. Page thanked the St. Louis Realtors Organization and the Municipal League for helping get the bill on the ballot. Voters will decide whether to approve the online use tax August 4th. A Cole County judge rewrote Secretary of State Denny Hoskins' ballot summary on a potential referendum on Missouri's new congressional map. Cole County Judge Brian Stumpy removed Hoskins' description of congressional lines passed in 2022 as gerrymandered that, quote, protected congressional incumbents. He also cut a line contending the new map passed last year, quote, better reflects statewide voting patterns. Stumpy kept phrases describing the 2025 map as keeping more cities and counties intact and for being more compact. Hoskins has yet to say if the redistricting referendum will make the November 2026 ballot. Referendum proponents say they have enough signatures for a statewide vote. The St. Louis University men's basketball team's historic season has come to an end. The Billikens lost on Saturday to number one-seeded Michigan in the second round of March Madness. Senior Deion Brown says the loss was tough, but he's proud of his team and what's in store for returning players.
Keeping the majority of the group, and there's so many young, talented guys who haven't even begun to scratch the surface of where they can end up. So it's going to be a good group for years to come.
Mizzou exited the tournament in the first round Friday, losing to Miami, Florida. The University of Illinois is still in it. They won their first two games and will be in the Sweet 16, taking on the University of Houston on Thursday. It's calorie pair buyback season in the St. Louis region. Local organizations are giving away native trees in exchange for cutting down the smelly, invasive pears. STLPR's Kate Grumke talked to local experts to learn what people can plant instead.
While calorie pears may have pretty white flowers, the experts we spoke to knew plenty of beautiful native trees. They recommend the eastern redbud, the white fringe tree, or even red buckeyes. The Missouri Botanical Gardens' Daria McKelvey wants to see more people planting shrubs like buttonbush, which has unique flowers.
They're like little buttons with little protrusions, and the bees just love it. I mean, I'm talking bumblebees, and I've even seen all the little tiny native bees over it as well.
We have a list of native trees and shrubs local experts recommend at stlpr.org. The statewide pear buyback runs until April 16th. I'm Kate Grumke, St. Louis Public Radio.
The weekend's high temperatures were record-breaking. Yesterday, St. Louis broke a daily warm record. The National Weather Service registered 90 degrees in St. Louis, breaking the old record of 88 degrees set in 1907. The above-average temperatures also broke the day's record on Friday in St. Louis and Quincy. The NWS station outside of Rolla recorded three straight days of broken records. A recent analysis by the nonprofit Climate Central found human-caused climate change is the main driver of spring warming trends in the U.S. There are 8 weeks remaining in the 2026 Missouri legislative session. After a week off, lawmakers are returning to Jefferson City today to a hefty to-do list, including passing this year's state budget. I spoke with State House and Politics reporter Sarah Kellogg about what could happen during the second half of the session. Sarah, how do you feel the session has gone so far?
So I feel like it's gone very, very quickly as well as very, very slowly. And I think it depends on the chamber that you're talking about. The Missouri House has been passing things left and right. They're actually on pace for possibly a record number of bills passed through the chamber, according to Speaker John Patterson. And the Senate has taken its time, which isn't unusual, but I feel like at least the first month was a little slower than normal. Even Majority Floor Leader Tony Lueckdemeyer admitted to that. But I think it is picking up pace, and I think we're going to see kind of a faster pace from the Senate in the second half. So a little bit of fast and slow, but I think it's going to kind of reach maybe an equilibrium by the time the session ends.
The legislature is coming back from spring break, having already sent several bills to Governor Mike Kehoe. What has already crossed the finish line?
So there's the supplemental budget, which Kehoe has actually already signed into law. That includes $86 million in general revenue for tornado relief. There's some money for the World Cup. There's a lot in there. Otherwise, a pretty typical supplemental budget that got done, honestly, pretty quickly. There's also legislation that removes legal barriers for pregnant women seeking a divorce. So that passed. There was also a broad criminal justice bill that includes, you know, major provisions that would require inmates to serve longer periods of their sentences, as well as makes it easier to try juveniles as adults for certain crimes. And then the legislature also passed anti-sex trafficking legislation, which establishes grooming as a minor as an offense. And the legislation requires, like, Missouri paramedics, county prosecutors, juvenile officers, social workers to undergo training on sex and human trafficking. Those last two bills were really broad and sweeping, and I'm sure there's going to be lots of future reporting on actually what those entail. But those are the bills that have made it through so far.
Right before they left, the House passed a major priority of Governor Kehoe's, which was dealing with the income tax. It now goes to the Senate. What does that piece of legislation do?
So this is a proposed constitutional amendment, meaning that voters would have to approve it for it to go into effect. But basically, it would give the legislature the ability to expand sales and use taxes in the state in pursuit of eliminating eventually the state income tax. And so because lawmakers can reduce taxes whenever they want, but they need voter approval in order to raise or change taxes. And so that's why this particularly needs voter approval. So they could, in theory, lower the income tax whenever they wanted. But right now, that would blow a huge hole in the budget. And so the sales and use tax portion is what in theory would supplement it.
Speaking of taxes, property taxes have been mentioned as a major priority. What's the status of legislation on property taxes?
So the House passed a bill that actually had a lot of broad bipartisan support on it. And what it does, to be as plain language as possible, it kind of separates the different subclasses of property taxes. So like residential and commercial, instead of kind of having them in a big bucket. And the goal of that would be to lower individual rates. St. Louis County actually already does this, but this would make it required for the rest of the state to do it. And so that is an approach that had a lot of bipartisan support. And the goal there would be to lower tax rates.
While there is this push for tax reduction, it comes as the legislature is facing the tightest budget process in years. What are you hearing on this?
So lawmakers are coming back basically in the House ready to pass the budget this week. They did markup right before they left. And that's pretty much the name of the game, is it is a much smaller budget. Overall, I think it's just going to be a lot of reductions in services. I think, you know, fully funding education is in question. I think that there's a lot that Democrats are not going to be happy with as far as cuts. But ultimately, there is just less revenue to go around.
Sarah Kellogg, our STL PR Missouri State House and Politics reporter. Hope you enjoyed a brief breather, and it's going to be a busy 8 weeks for you. Thanks so much.
It always is. Thanks.
You can read more about the 2026 Missouri legislative session at stlpr.org. Thanks to editor Fred Ehrlich. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, thanks for listening to The Gateway.